podcast Campus Files is back with more stories of scandal, crime, and intrigue on college campuses. Campus Files, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
NYYST. Hold up, why do they doubt the kid? I'm about to prove them all wrong again. I got a low tolerance, cause they don't even know where their problem is. It's me. You waiting on the boy to fail, then hold your breath and face your death. Cause you play a roulette with each step I progress, no less. Go ahead and place your bets. I'm taking off like a rocket here and stopping here. It's strange how they cannot see the future but see profit here. Wait up, we gon' always win. Promise that that's not a promise here, that is a threat. You know that I promise to bring the team commas.
Welcome back. This is episode 536 of the NYYST podcast. We are presented by NYY Underground. I'm your host, Christian. And earlier today, the New York Yankees won a baseball game, and that's why we're here to talk about it. We only had two scheduled NYYST episodes for the month of July, and we've already doubled that because we just keep popping up. And that's why I say, make sure you are subscribed to the very podcast platform that you're listening to me on right now so you don't miss any new episodes of the NYYST podcast. We were scheduled for the Bronx or Nowhere over on NYY Underground this evening, but unfortunate circumstances occurred and the show had to be canceled for this evening. And I said, you know what? Let me pop on for NYYST here. Let's get a little bonus ep out here because the Yankees had a really, really good win today. Would you call the win that the New York Yankees had today a season-saving win? Well, it all depends on what they do after this, but the New York Yankees went out there today and won a baseball game that they absolutely needed to go out there and win. The New York Yankees could not go through Tampa Bay and not at least get a split here from the Rays. Now, the Yankees are in the same position they were on Monday morning. They're five out in the loss column. But it could have been a lot worse. You're looking at a situation here. They don't win this game. They're seven out. And like I said on Sunday's episode, the season's over, especially in terms of them being a legitimate competitor for the American League East. So they did the bare minimum here. And I was ready to kind of throw in the towel on Sunday because, you know, feelings get the best of you sometimes, especially when you lose a series to the Minnesota Twins at home and the Yankees are just mired in one of the worst stretches that I can possibly remember them being mired in. But they did a really solid job here this weekend, and you saw signs of them being alive, which you really hadn't seen signs of them being alive for like 3 weeks here. So do you want to call this Wednesday after Thursday? Today's Thursday. Jesus, I don't even know my days anymore. Do you want to call this victory that the New York Yankees had earlier today or yesterday, since you're listening on Friday, a season-saving win? Was this a season-saving win for the Yankees? Well, I'll tell you what it was. It was a win that showed the Yankees had a degree of testicular fortitude. It was a win that the New York Yankees failed to get time and time again in the Aaron Boone era. This is a win where everything was stacked up against the Yankees. You had Drew Rasmussen, who dominates the New York Yankees. This guy allowed 5 earned runs in 52 and two-thirds innings in his career to the Yankees, and today they scored 6 in the third inning. That's baseball, Susan. And the Yankees were throwing a bullpen game out there because this was supposed to be Carlos Rodon's turn in rotation. And we all know Brendan Beck can't make starts in the big leagues, so the Yankees went with a bullpen game. So knowing all that, everything stacked up against the Yankees today, desperately needing to split this series, they went out there, they did it. The bullpen, for the most part, went out there, did their job, and this offense, for the first time in 21 games, scored more than five runs. They knocked out Drew Rasmussen in the third inning. This was a win that could catapult the Yankees out of this malaise that they've been in. This is a win that could be a season-changing win for the Yankees. Now they're going to Washington. Washington's going to throw some pretty bad pitchers at them, but the one thing Washington does is Washington hits the hell out of the baseball. So it's going to be up to Cam Schlittler, Ryan Weathers, and Will Warren to keep this momentum going, because the New York Yankees gave themselves a fighting opportunity to continue to be players in the American League East with this win today. Because the two things that the Yankees did, they did not allow this deficit in the East to get any worse, and they allowed themselves to still be alive in terms of keeping that tiebreaker with the Rays. Now, the Yankees are 3-6 against the Rays this year. They got four games left in September in the Bronx. Yankees sweep those games, hopefully with a healthy Aaron Judge, Giancarlo Stanton, Max Fried. They win the season series. We all know what happens to the New York Yankees when they wind up tied for the division. So that was imperative today. Today was a very big win for the Yankees because they kept that hope alive for the American League East, and they kept that hope alive to be able to win a tiebreaker with the Rays should things turn around here after this win today. This is a win that you should feel really, really good about if you're a New York Yankee fan, because Drew Rasmussen historically dominates the Yankees, and they knocked him out of this game in the third inning. This is a game that no Yankee fan, rightfully so, should have had any hope in winning because of that and the fact they were throwing their bullpen out there. But really, outside of Jake Bird, this bullpen, everyone that stepped up to the mound understood the assignment today. The Yankees showed a degree of toughness and testicular fortitude that we don't usually see out of this team. So it gives you reason for hope. It gives you a little reason for optimism here. And that sprinkled along with some pretty solid, if not good, injury updates from Giancarlo Stanton and Max Fried. And we'll wait and see what the imaging shows on Aaron Judge, although that was a little bit more ominous, should give you a little bit of hope that maybe the Yankees are on the other side of this thing. Now go out there, go to Washington, hold their bats down, and score off of a bad pitching staff and ride some momentum here into the All-Star break. That's how today's win goes from something we get lost as a footnote in this season to a win that we look back at and say that win changed the season. And one at bat you could turn to and say maybe this was the at bat where the light switch flipped and it goes to Ryan McMahon. You didn't think you'd be saying that, because that at bat that he battled Rasmussen in that at bat, where all you're saying to yourself is don't strike out. Get that run back after Caminero hits the home run in the first inning. Just get the run back. You got the leadoff double. Get him over. Do not strike out. And he did more than that. Finally found the pitch that he could handle. Hit it into the outfield for a single, and the Yankees tied the game 1-1, and they were off and running from there. So Ryan McMahon, if the Yankees go on here, get a little hot here, win some baseball games, come back, win this division, you're going to look back at that at-bat that Ryan McMahon had in the third inning of today's game and say that was the catalyst for it all. Because I was listening to the game in the radio. I didn't get to watch the game today. I listened to it on the radio. And Emmanuel Babari, easy for me to say, was hyped the entire at-bat. And he's the one that kept saying, the tide is turning for Ryan McMahon in this at-bat. The tide is turning for Ryan McMahon in this at-bat. And I'm saying, okay, I don't believe you, but I love the optimism because we need it right now. And he willed that, credit to Emmanuel, he willed that hit from Ryan McMahon. And the Yankees were off and running. And then Wellesley gets, I'm calling him Wellesley today, okay? Because he gets the runner over, hits a big home run later in the game after Jake Bird decided he was going to vomit all over himself after the Yankees bust the game open. And he decided, hey, things are a little too close for comfort here. But Wellesley gets the runner over. And you're just saying to yourself, when Trent Grisham is up, get that second run in. Just get the second run in. And he does. Ben Rice hits the home run. Guys are beating out infield singles. That inning was a thing of beauty. That inning was something that if the New York Yankees can come back here and right the ship, now you're going to look back at that inning. And the big at-bat in that inning, it wasn't the Grisham single. It wasn't the Rice home run. It was Ryan McMahon's RBI single. Where Ryan McMahon strikes out, Yankees don't win that game. It's another frustrating game that goes down, and the Yankees are sitting seven out, having lost the season series to the Rays. Now, it's not going to be easy to win the season series against the Rays because the Yankees have to sweep all four games against them in the Bronx later in September, but they're alive. And honestly, there's not many people that thought they would be when this series started on Monday. And let's go back to Jake Bird here. Because the Yankees knock out Drew Rasmussen in the third inning. Like I said, Rasmussen up until that point had allowed 5 earned runs in 52 and two-thirds career innings against the New York Yankees, and then they hung a 6th spot on him in the third inning. And then after Blackburn gives you the 2 as the opener here, Jake Bird takes the mound. And immediately, and it could have been a lot worse because he got a double play there, immediately gives back 2 runs. You cannot be a serious team and keep Jake Bird on this roster. And the only other blip that the bullpen had, because you're going to give Blackburn a pass. He gives up the home run to Caminero, but he started the game. He gave them 2 innings, a 1-run ball. He didn't blow up the game in the first 2 innings. The Yankees were alive, and that's kind of what you're hoping for in that situation. But the only other guy that decided he was going to throw a little rain on this parade that the Yankees were having today was Camille Duvall. I'm sorry, Hedrick actually got charged for the run there, but it was a walk from Duvall that kind of spiraled things out of control here for the Yankees in that inning. Or maybe it wasn't. Like I said, I was listening to the game, but I was in the middle of doing something. I thought Duvall got charged for the run there, but it says Hedrick did.
Why does it feel like nobody really gives us the inside scoop? Join us on The Powers That Be, the podcast where insiders from Puck break down who has influence, how they use it, and what it actually means for you. New episodes every weekday. Listen to The Powers That Be wherever you get your podcasts.
I was mistaken on that. My apologies, but so that, and Hedrick, again, man, Hedrick's pitching to a 1.57 this year. Gave the Yankees an inning and 2/3 today. Gave up 3 hits. Did strike out 3. But, you know, the guy has been really solid for the Yankees. And Camille Duvall has not been. And most certainly, Jake Bird has not been. So I don't understand how we did not see an alert from the official Yankee Twitter after this game today. That said, Jake Bird was optioned to AAA. I don't understand that. Because Jake Bird has gotten to the point here where you can't pitch him in any type of pressurized situation. And Camille Duvall has a knee. I mean, it's the same thing with Camille Duvall. And Aaron Boone had the balls to say that. I know a lot of people don't want to hear this, but he's actually throwing the ball really well. Well, coming into this outing here, Actually, at that point when Boone had said that, Camilo Duvall had allowed 10 earned runs to score against him in his last three outings. The Yankees fall in love with certain things, and it's easy to see with Duvall, with the 102-mile-an-hour cutter, the 99-mile-an-hour sinker, why you like him. But things just fall apart just so fast for Camilo Duvall that you can't trust him. And it's pretty crazy for Aaron Boone to sit there and say, well, he's been throwing the ball really well. Well, no, he hasn't. And the same thing goes for Jake Bird. Well, you'll look at Jake Bird and you'll see the stuff has got some wicked movement on it, but he just can't get the outs that he needs to get. So the bullpen, again, really, really good today. Even Chavilli with two scoreless innings to keep the game in check there late in the game, where you had a bullpen game and you didn't have to use your two best relievers in Cruz and Bednar, which was a good job by the Yankees offense and the bullpen as a whole today. So that's why you have to ask yourself, is this the game? Is this the game that's going to turn the season around? Because I don't want to throw in the towel on the division. I don't want to throw in the towel on the season here, because the Yankees went out and won a game that you didn't think they were going to win. The Yankees went out and won a game where their backs were up against it. The Yankees went out and won a game where they desperately needed to win the game. And they beat the living shit out of a pitcher that dominates them. That's got to count for something. And if it doesn't, then it doesn't. But for today, and you're looking for silver linings in what's been a horrific 3 weeks for the New York Yankees, you got to take a look at today and say, hey, this was a great game for the Yankees. This was their best win of the season, because it didn't eliminate them from the division. And they showed some balls today. You didn't think they had it in them. Now, is it for one day? Because if they go out there on Friday, Saturday, Sunday and get dick smacked by the Washington Nationals, then you look back at today and say today meant nothing. You know how the front office and Aaron Boone likes to gaslight us with their words? Well, this would have been physical gaslighting, where the Yankees did something to make you believe that they were better than they really were, but it really wasn't the case. So you want to take a look at the series as a whole. The Yankees really needed to take three out of four here. Splitting just keeps things status quo, which I guess is better than what we all kind of figured things were going to be going into the game today. The Yankees won the first game of the series. They won the last game of the series. And the Yankees' starting pitching was good two out of the three games where they got starting pitching. And it all started with Cam Schlittler on Monday. Cam Schlittler is a different animal. In fact, Cam Schlittler is not an animal. The guy's a beast, okay? Cam Schlittler is special. And if people don't want to give him the respect that he so rightfully deserves, by all means, please go ahead and do that, because he feeds off of it. Are you going to say, well, he should be able to motivate himself in other ways? Whatever, I don't care if that's what gets him off and allows him to go out there and shove for eight innings against a team in first place, then go right ahead. Go get your motivation from wherever you can get it, because he was legitimately pissed off that mouth breathers were out there questioning whether or not he was regressing after one bad start, and he used it to fuel himself into pitching an absolute gem when the Yankees desperately needed one on Monday night. So go ahead, continue to disrespect Cam Schlittler, because I saw it from the first inning on Monday. He had a little extra FU on that fastball, and that was directed not only to the Tampa Bay Rays, who he needed to go out there and shut down, but it was for everybody that was questioning whether or not Cam Schlittler was regressing and whether or not he was really as good as people thought that he was. Because I'll tell you right now, he should be the starter for the All-Star game on Tuesday. So I don't know how that's going to work with him pitching on Friday, but he should be named it so he at least gets the honor of that. And this man is in a class by himself right now on July 9th for being the front runner for the American League Cy Young Award. That's how good Cam Schuttler has been. That's how good Cam Schuttler has been since he's debuted a year ago last July. Cam Schuttler is a beast on that mound. And please, as a Yankee fan, as a diehard Yankee fan, please continue to doubt Cam Schuttler. And then Will Warren goes out there and ruins all the vibes after, you know, he gives up an early two, Ben Rice with the home run to get it to 3-2, and then he just shits himself. Hey, I like Will Warren, but I'll be honest about him. He's not a guy that I want to see on the mound in big situations. He's just not, okay? I don't want to see Will Warren on the mound in big situations. I don't really want to see Will Warren on the mound in games that the Yankees have to win because he's prone to that. Is he a major league pitcher? Yes. Is he a good major league pitcher? Yes. Will Warren is a fourth or fifth starter in this league, and he's a pretty damn good one. And he'll rack up a lot of wins and have pretty solid numbers going against bad teams and matching up against other teams' fours and fives. He's not a guy that I trust a whole hell of a lot in a big spot. He's not a guy I trust a whole hell of a lot against a good team. But over the course of 162, could the New York Yankees do a lot worse out of the fourth, fifth spot? Absolutely. He's not Brendan Beck, okay? He's a guy that belongs on a major league roster. That's the difference between Will Warren and a guy like Brendan Beck. Will Warren can get you out to the big league level. Will Warren can beat major league teams. Brendan Beck should never, ever see a major league mound again. And another guy that should never see a major league mound again, to get off topic here for a little bit, because I switched over, I believe it was Tuesday night, this guy Seelinger that the Mets threw out there, 31-year-old rookie making his major league debut. First of all, I should tell you a lot about his ability. Not knocking him, obviously. I can't. I've never even sniffed a college team, let alone Major League Baseball. But 31-year-old rookie making his major league debut should tell you all you really need to know about where he's at. Tie game in the seventh inning. The Mets desperately need to get outs from somebody because their bullpen is taxed. Throw him out there. The guy allows 7 runs. I believe he allowed 9 base runners, 5 walks, 4 hits, or the other way around. The guy was literally having a panic attack the entire time he was on the mound. I don't ever feel bad for people playing big league baseball. I felt bad for him. And then the Mets DFA'd him the next day. So Seelinger, wherever you are, congratulations, buddy. You're in the baseball encyclopedia. You have a memento. You got a major league strikeout. But, dude, you were looking rough out there. And then Gerrit Cole. We'll switch back to the Yankees here. And then Gerrit Cole on Wednesday. Hey, he was good. 3 runs, 6 and a third. You'll take that. Again, Yandy Diaz and Jonathan Aranda, if it wasn't for those two, Gerrit Cole would have been phenomenal. Fastball sitting 98. He's getting beat on location, especially with the off-speed stuff. You hope that's something that clears up. But that's 2 encouraging outings back-to-back from Gerrit Cole after people were saying he's washed. No, he's just a guy working his way back from Tommy John surgery. And the velo is there. And he's just got to stop getting beat with these friggin' mistakes on his off-speed stuff. And 2 guys really in particular killed him on Wednesday. And that was Yandy, who kills him all the time, and Jonathan Aranda, who drove in all 3 runs. And the Yankees couldn't mount any sort of offense against McClanahan and what Joe Girardi kept saying was a bad bullpen. Well, they didn't look so bad for the first 3 games of this series. So a couple other things to touch on here is that Jose Caballero was the hero of game 1 with 2 hits. And then the Yankees, and I'd say the Yankees had to play him on Tuesday, and then he makes me look stupid by striking out 4 times, including just dropping the bat on a 3-2 pitch. I don't know. I heard the explanation or whatever. You just can't do it. You can't do it. The fact of the matter is that Jose Caballero is a better shortstop than Anthony Volpe. Okay? He should be playing every day. Now, you had some controversy from earlier in the week with Michael Kay saying that he heard that Volpe refused to play second base when he was rehabbing, and then the YPM made him retract that. Well, you tell me what other conclusion I'm supposed to lead to other than the YPM telling Michael Kay to back off, because the three likely scenarios of what happened is that Kay got bad information from a trusted source and ran with it. Could happen, because I think Joel Sherman said something similar. At least that's what people have kept telling me. I don't remember him saying it, but it does sound sort of familiar. So it's possible. Or Kay made the whole thing up. Not possible at all. I mean, Kay's a lot of things, but somebody that's just going to lie to get clicks and create controversy doesn't seem like something he would do. I do think he has way more integrity than that. Or the story's true, and the YPM said, hey, back off, because they were all coming out of the woodwork to dispel this whole thing. Now, whatever you think of Anthony Volpe, I'll tell you this right now. Anthony Volpe is not a major league hitter. He's certainly not a good one. Okay? Because this was Anthony Volpe, let me bring this up here.
Life can feel overwhelming, but on my podcast, From the Heart with Rachel Brayton, we're in it together. Every Friday, a new episode brings you a new story with topics on motherhood, wellness, self-love, and more. Listen to From the Heart with Rachel Brayton wherever you get your podcasts.
From yesterday, okay? Hold on. I want to get the... So they might be a little bit off because Volpe had a couple more at-bats, but I think that you'll get this. Is that 2023, Anthony Volpe had an OPS of 666 and OPS plus 81. 2024, Anthony Volpe had an OPS of 657 and OPS plus 86. 2025, Anthony Volpe had an OPS of 663 and OPS plus 82. This year, he's got an OPS of 673 and 88 is the OPS plus. Let's see if that changed any bit after. I just want to. That was when I tweeted it, but as of right now, after those last couple of at bats, the OPS is now 664 and the OPS plus is 87. Okay, so what do we always say? If it walks like a duck and it talks like a duck, it's not your franchise shortstop. So after 4 years, the facts are the facts. Anthony Volpe is not a good major league hitter, okay? You can like the kid. You can want him to succeed. I like him. I want him to succeed. But the only thing we can do as Yankee fans is hope. And hope is all it is. Because based on the numbers, based on the facts, you have no factual proof that it will change. But you can blindly hope, and that's what we have to do, that something clicks this season and going forward, that he does become a good major league hitter, because the Yankees and everything that they've done have more than proved that it's till death do us part with this kid. And I'm telling you right now, Volpe can say whatever he wants to say. The organization can say whatever they want to say. He should be playing second base, especially against left-handed pitching, because you want to give him the, you know, say he's got good range. Okay, I'll bite. I'll give you something. I think his footwork sucks. I'll give you something. What he doesn't have, he doesn't have a shortstop's arm. We can all see that. In fact, he's lost 2 miles an hour off his throws since last year. He should be playing second base, especially against left-handed pitching, because Jazz has been sitting more often than you probably anticipated at the beginning of the year against lefties. So why not Volpe? And Max Schumann does deserve to play, man. He's done a hell of a job for this team. Although I didn't like the safety squeeze on Wednesday's game. Let him hit away there. He's earned that. He's gotten some big hits for this team. But why not? Especially if Jazz is going to take a walk. And he should take a walk at the end of this year. Right? Because you hear from Cashman today that Lombard is going to come back after the hand injury and he's could be in play for later on in the year. I think we could see him. I think that's a definite possibility. You know, the Yankees have big plans for him in the future. He should be the shortstop of the future. Absolutely. He's plug and play right now, as Cashman said, defensively and with his speed and base running. What are you going to do with Volpe? Are you going to get rid of him? You got to move him to second base? You have to. I think he might flourish there. Take the pressure off of him and being the franchise shortstop and move to a less prominent position. I mean, it's clear that they're probably not going to do anything with him in terms of letting him go or trading him. So why not? I think that's what you do. And a couple other things that I want to touch on here before we wrap this show up is some injury updates here. And this is absolutely wild to me that Brian Cashman, I guess he came out of his hole today to speak and give some updates. Stan's injury while running the bases, when we heard about this a week or so ago, whenever it was, isn't an aggravation. It's not a setback. It's a new injury. A new one. Now he's running after PRP injection, so hopefully he's going to be coming back soon because the Yankees need Big G back in this lineup. Nobody, and I'm telling you this for a fact, nobody has used their platform to defend Giancarlo Stanton more than I have. I love the guy. I really do. But what are we doing, bro? The guy is as durable as a wet paper bag. And I know that I've said this before. A new strain to the same muscle? I love the guy. I really do, man. Giancarlo Stanton is one of the more underappreciated stars that have come through here in the last 20 years because of the way he shows up in big spots, the way he shows up with the media, the way he's never turned a cross eye at the fans for how they treated him. But he just can't stay healthy. And the things that happened to him are absolutely mind-boggling. You don't restrain the calf. You get a new strain in the calf. I mean, what are we even talking about here? Hopefully he's on his way back, and hopefully he'll be in this lineup soon because I love Goldschmidt, man. He's still unk. He's on, what, an 0-for-34 right now? I mean, could you not see that coming? Anybody that thought that the downturn of Goldie wasn't coming was just fooling themselves because the same thing happened last year. Goldie played well. They overexposed Goldie. They played him too much, and then that was it. Now they had to do it this year. They had injuries to Grisham. Judge is still out. Stan's still out. They had to play him. They had to. I'm not saying that you didn't have to. You had to. But what happened again? I'm glad they sat him today. I would sit him again tomorrow. Run the same nine. This lineup scored 12 runs today against a guy that dominates them and is one of the better pitchers in the American League. Run the same nine out there tomorrow. Lefty-righty, I didn't look at the matchups for Washington. But run the same nine out there. Let Goldie get a breather here, especially with the All-Star break coming up here. And if you need him late in the game, then call on him. But don't, just don't, please. And the other thing here, the one that we're all like, oh, this is the one that we need. Brian Cashman said to not expect Judge's rib to be completely healed, but they do hope that he'll be able to increase his activities. The quote is, I don't think we're anticipating it coming back clean. I think we're anticipating and hopeful that it's showing the healing process. He's getting re-imaged during the All-Star break. I mean, that's the first step back for Aaron Judge, is getting it looked at again. There has to be signs of healing, because if there's not, then we might be in trouble here. The Yankees need Aaron Judge back. We can be so optimistic about this win today, but if we get news that it's not healing and that they have to go re-image again to see, I mean, at that point, we're in the middle of July here. Would you sign for Aaron Judge back on the field September 1st? Absolutely, 110%. That's what you got to hope for at this point. So it doesn't sound encouraging, what you heard from Brian Cashman, but if he's able to ramp up and start doing baseball activities, that's a good sign. If we hear from during the All-Star break that he can't do baseball activities yet, I mean, it might be the end of the season, because they are not going to be able to sustain what they need to do in order to catch up to the Rays or even possibly make the postseason without him. He's that important, and as they've shown, he's like Benny the Jet Rodriguez in the Sandlot. They all look to him, Benny, 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 and say, it's like, Judgy, Judgy, Judgy. He's the best player in baseball. I know, Otani pitches. Great. He's the best hitter in baseball. He's the most valuable player. He is the most valuable player in baseball, because there is not another guy that you can remove from another team and have the team completely fall apart the way it happens every time Aaron Judge is hurt. So hopefully we get some decent, I'll take decent news from the imaging. Because that's what's holding the string that this season is holding on to right now. Why the string hasn't snapped is because you're holding on to Aaron Judge coming back. And the Yankees are heading to Washington to wrap up the first half of the season. It'll be 6:40. Got a couple weird start times. You got 6:45 tomorrow. Ryan Weathers against Palmquist with a 7.11 ERA. It looks like he's only made one start this year. Four games, six innings. So maybe it's an opener situation. I don't know. And I got that wrong. Cam is pitching Saturday. So, again, I don't know how that's going to play into it with him possibly being named All-Star, the starting All-Star pitcher for the American League. But he still should be. And then if he can't do it, then somebody else gets it. But he should at least be named so he gets the honor. Because then on Saturday at 4:05, you got Cam Schlittler against Miles Mikolas with a 5.78 ERA. Again, this is a guy the Yankees should fucking knock out in the third inning. I don't want to hear it. I don't want to hear any bullshit why the Yankees aren't scoring runs against the Washington Nationals. And then to wrap up the first half of the season here, Sunday at 1:35, it's TBD against Will Warren. And I'm going to tell you why the Yankees have no excuses to not score against the Washington Nationals. The Washington Nationals here have scored 508 runs. So they might give the Yankees pitchers a lot of trouble. Those 508 runs are best in baseball. The best in baseball. They have scored the most runs with 508. They have allowed 495 runs. The 495 runs that the Washington Nationals have allowed is third in baseball to the Colorado Rockies at 537, and the A's at 500. And both of those two teams have excuses because Coors Field always yields a lot of runs. And then the A's have been playing in that science experiment out in Las Vegas where pop flies are turned into home runs. So at least you can – and I'm not going to say that either one of them have great pitching staffs either, but at least you can say, hey, look at the situations those two are in. So this is a team that has scored the most runs in baseball, and they have allowed the third most in baseball. So go out there, and if you got to win some 7-5 games, you got to win some 9-6 games, go out there and do it. You have no excuses not to score runs this weekend. You really have no excuses, especially with Cam Schlittler pitching one of these games, to not win this series and carry some positive momentum into the All-Star break here. Because it's not going to get any easier for the Yankees after the All-Star break. Because, oh, you could say, oh, you know, soft landing spot out of the All-Star break. Maybe they're playing the A's or the Pirates or the Rock. No, it's the Dodgers. So go out there and win a series. So we'll be back on Sunday to cover the Washington series. And then I'm hopeful of having a little special something for everybody during the week of the All-Star break. Not set in stone yet. Hopeful of it. We'll see what happens. But we'll be back Sunday to cover the Washington series. And hopefully a little special something during the week. So hopefully you can leave us a little special something on this very podcast platform you're listening to us on right now in the form of a 5-star rating and review. I know it's the final season, but we always love to hear from the fans, and we'd especially love to hear from you guys in the final season. Also, make sure you are subscribed because, as I said, we only had 2 scheduled shows for NYYST in July, and we've already had 2 special pop-up shows, and hopefully maybe a third one. So you never know when NYYST is going to pop up. And if you're subscribed, you won't miss anything. Also, subscribe to NYY Underground on YouTube. The Bronx or Nowhere is scheduled to be back next Thursday. We're supposed to be there tonight, but unfortunately, something happened. That show had to be canceled. You know, my best to Pete and Jira and the family. You know, everybody's doing well, but show had to be canceled. And you know what? You got a bonus NYYST episode out of it. So there you go. But yeah, subscribe there. Don't miss anything. And be sure to tell everybody we are the official Yankee podcast of Odyssey. This is the final season of NYYST, guys. Hopefully the Yankees are turning around and we can end this the way we want to, down the Canyon of Heroes with number 28. So again, thank you so much for your continued support of the show. I love you guys. This has been episode 536. Thanks for listening, and I'll see you next time.
I'm Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And together, we have the podcast Office Ladies.
Just because we finished rewatching The Office does not mean we're going anywhere.
Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories from The Office and our friendship with brand new guests. Plus, you can revisit all the Office Ladies rewatch episodes every Monday with new bonus tidbits before every episode.
So follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.